Amen. 1 Samuel chapter number 12 or 13. Go there with me tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 13. I'm reading, like I said, reading through Samuel, writing out a lot of stuff. And today's Sunday night. It's more relaxed than Sunday morning. It's also, we're not in the middle of a revival or anything like that. So, message be a little different tonight, a little bit. And try to give you something to think on. Amen. Something to feed on and something to get you to feed on or chew on all week this week. And try to be a blessing to you. So, 1 Samuel chapter number 13. This is Saul. Chapter 13 and 14 is a little background here. Chapter 13 and 14 of 1 Samuel is Saul taking over the kingship of Israel. And verse 1 talks about how the first year he reigned, kind of had a honeymoon there. Nothing happened in Saul's first year of his reign. And then the Bible says when he had reigned 2 years. And then what happens here is the Philistines. Look at there, verse number 5. The Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel. 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen. And the people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and pitched in Michmash eastward from Beth-Aven. And the Bible talks about the Philistines getting ready for battle. So, I mean, that first year of Saul he had there as a... The king, like I said, it was a honeymoon. There was nothing going wrong. Everybody in love with Saul. And Saul loved everybody. Loved his job and had a good time there. And just time went by. But that second year, the Bible says the Philistines, they got together and they got ready to fight the whole nation of Israel. And so there was a problem that arose. And I want you to see how these two men, Saul and Jonathan, handle things differently. So I'll just pick out a few things here. And with time permitting, we'll preach on them tonight. And wherever time runs out, we'll stop right there, amen. So we'll get that. And I don't want to be going long. We had some marathon service this week, so I'm trying not to be long tonight, amen. Try not to be long. So we'll just get the general point across. So let's go, Lord, in prayer and ask His blessing. Father in heaven, I pray for Your help now tonight to preach, Lord, and I pray God the Word of God would have a free course. I pray Your Spirit have liberty, and we give You liberty to work. And may the Word of God, Lord, not only challenge and inspire, but Lord, may the Word of God feed Your people tonight. Lord, I not only want to stir them up in their minds, but also, Lord God, I want to give them something that their soul can be fed, and Lord God, it can help them, Lord God, some things in their life now. Not only the adults, but the young people, and I pray You get the honor and the glory, out of this. Help me now, Lord, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I'll look at chapter 14 here. This is the phrase that caught me that kind of helped me build this message here. At chapter 13 and 14, remember now, Philistines have gotten ready to fight against Israel. And so there are things going on. The battle ends there. A battle ensues there in chapter number 14. And they begin fighting with them. And Saul, they eventually get a victory. Israel eventually wins, but it's only after some things happen. But notice there in chapter 14, verse 19. And it came to pass... while Saul talked. You know, here's the Philistines getting ready to fight against Israel. And they're attacking the people. They're doing raids on the land. They're robbing the people. They're destroying cornfields. Just putting the people in fear all through Israel. And obviously something needs to be done about it. I mean, there's some things going on that are getting bad in Israel, and somebody needs to do something about it. We look around in our country today in America, and I mean, I don't know about you, like I said, I'm not that old, but I mean, from the time I was growing up, watching the news and television and society, seeing things that are going on out there in this world, I mean, it's evident to me that some things are gone wrong in society. I mean, the school and how things are going on in public schools and hearing of, especially now, about all the police officers being shot and the shootings. I mean, it's weekly now. We're hearing of some gunman. I don't know if you saw the one about Colorado there, the guy in the Colorado Springs, Brother Levi and his wife. They work over there, and they live there in, part-time there in the Colorado Springs. And, man, that lady there said that they just walked down the street with a gun, rifle, and started shooting people. I was thinking, man, that's crazy. Brother Levi's wife telling me about the bank that she worked at on the reservation. Just a week ago, three Navajo guys went to that bank there in the reservation. Chin Lee robbed that bank there, man, gunpoint, man, hurt some people there. And I'm thinking, man, it's just getting worse. And we see things getting worse in society, and we see in our government things getting worse. And Not only there, but I mean, we see the home today being under attack. Man, husbands, wives, and children, and man, just the family unit being destroyed and taken down. I mean, children not knowing their place anymore in the home, not knowing compassion, not knowing the love of mom and dad, and not being paid attention to. That verse is true there. A child left himself, bringeth his mother to shame. Not only that in the home, but then we see in our churches. The more and more I travel around and visit those churches, I see, man, just deteriorating, convictions deteriorating. People not wanting to support missions no more. People not wanting to be witnesses and have a testimony out there in public anymore. People not wanting to, to stand by some of the old-fashioned things that were preached. Man, they're just deteriorating. We see something wrong. We see the enemy attacking. But you know what a lot of people are doing? They're doing like Saul. Saul just said, let's talk about it. Amen. There's some people today, they know what's going on, but you know what they're doing? They're just talking. Well, you know, this is going on. What do we do about it? Just talk. They knew something needed to be done. But what? Well, so I'll talk. Sometimes, you know what? We know something's wrong. We're not going to do anything about it. We'll just talk about it and mention it's bad. So what else you can do about it? That's Saul. He just talked. Man, I think, wow, man, Saul, man, get go. No, we'll just talk. That very phrase just caught my attention. Well, Saul talked. You know what? Some people just say, well, all these things are going bad in Israel. Saul just said, meanwhile, their leader, he's just talking. Man, what's going on? What's going wrong with a lot of people and things going bad here in the country, churches, in the home? You know why? Because people, they just talking about it and they know what's going on, but what do we do about it? Nobody wants to do anything about it. Not only that, but you look over here. We're still looking at Saul here. Look at verse 2 of chapter 14. And Saul tarried. Not only did Saul just talk about it, but Saul tarried. You know what? Something needs to be done, but you know, let's just kind of hang back here and we'll just wait here under this pomegranate tree, see if maybe it works itself out. Sometimes things do work themselves out, but then sometimes they don't. You have to do something about it. Especially if you know, and man said, we can do something about this, get this done, and man, try to make it, but no, let's just kind of wait. That's Saul's approach here. He just tarried under. I don't know if it was fear. I don't know if it was he was ignorant or he didn't know what to do or he did not approach it. I have no idea. Bible says Saul just tarried. Here's a man. Israel's being attacked. The Philistines are having their way with Israel. But Saul's just talking. Saul's just tarrying. Just kind of sitting back, hanging back, just watching things and maybe it'll get better. Maybe it won't be so bad. Maybe they'll just leave us alone. Just kind of a passive attitude. Not so much in this church, but other places. There are a lot of people are just being they're passive. They just really don't care about things. It bothers me, man, when people, they know something needs to be done. They know about it, but they don't really care about it. I think the word is apathy. It doesn't bother them. It doesn't bother them. Doesn't stir them up enough to do something about it. I was sitting at the Verizon store the other day, a phone broke, and I was trying to get a new one ordered. And I was standing there kind of an angle, and I saw somebody at the counter over here, and man, all of a sudden I heard a thunk. Man, I turned and I saw a lady on the floor, so I ran over there. You okay? What's happening? The guy said, I'm sorry, I didn't think you were serious. I guess the lady had told him, I'm about to faint. And she fell over, man. I'm standing right there. You okay? What's all right? You know? Everybody was kind of like, oh, yeah. That's the way people are today. They're just like, they don't care. They don't know. Oh, something happened bad. Yeah, let's get a picture of it. You know, make sure we got it. That's people's attitude toward things. They're just, Saul, man, here. Saul, come on. The Philistines are attacking you. Your country, your people are being injured. Your people are being hurt. Yeah, but let's form a little committee and let's see if we can do something about that here. You know, let's just kind of tarry over here. Kind of come over here. Let's go over into a little corner and let's, you know, maybe it'll go away. Apathy. Don't care. I don't know about you, but man, I think you young people, you need to care about some things. The Lord don't come in 10 years, man. I'll tell you what, you guys are going to have to deal with some bad stuff. We, those of us here, our generation, my brother Justin said, me and him, and our generation, man, we're going to have to deal with things in the church coming up that some of these old men of God didn't have to deal with. And something should bother us about the way church is going. The direction of Christianity, the direction of the way people are worshiping, that should bother us to do something about it. To say, hey, let's maintain the standard. Hey, let's keep preaching the Word of God. Let's encourage one another. But there's some people out there that's just like, well, we ain't going to make no difference. Let's just talk. He only talked, he tarried, he did foolish things. You look at chapter 13, and verse number, Bible says there in 13:13, Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. You back up there, Saul took some liberties that he should never have taken. Intruding to the priest's office. Why? Here's the army attacking. Then he's going to go do something else and take liberties where he shouldn't. Get involved in something, doing foolishly, man. And what is this? What's going on here? Well, all the while he's just talking. All the while he's tarrying. All the while he's taking liberties. Thing he shouldn't do. Here's Philistines still oppressing and attacking. Now think about that a while. I think that's the way modern Christianity and churches have. People say, how did our country end up this way? Because of that. Why did society end up where it's at? Because of that. People just kind of, they'd rather tarry at home. They'd, instead of going to church, they'd rather tarry from the battle. They'd rather talk about it on Monday morning. They'd rather, man, just take some liberties. Well, let's not worry about it. Let's just go do something else. Man, I don't know. Some things need to fire. There needs to be a little sense of urgency in every one of us. About the church and about our young people. You know, it bothered me that Brother Farley, I think it was Brother Farley, was telling us there. He said, man, you guys preach to the young people, and man, you seem to have their ear. Well, the reason why, because I not only love these young people, but man, I'll tell you what, man, I see what they're getting into. I'm like, no, man, don't do that. It bothers me because, man, in a few years, man, they're going to be the ones, man, that we're going to be trying to pastor and trying to help. They're going to be the ones that carry on this way of Christianity. If they don't pick it up, man, we're going to be in a mess. Churches will die out. Churches will be liberal and all that mess. We don't do something about it. But I like the fact here on the other side of the coin here, Jonathan did something about it. You know, I thank God there are some Jonathans around that kind of do some things about it. If you read chapter 14, you know what it's about? Jonathan getting the victory. It wasn't Saul. Saul just kind of joined in later. But Jonathan's the one that started this whole thing here. And I want you to see here some things about Jonathan, about how he got this victory here. One of the things I want you to see about Jonathan here, first of all here, is that Jonathan, you know what? He wanted one of them to sit around in the pomegranate tree. In verse number 1 of chapter 14, it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, son of Saul, sent a young man that bare his armor. Come, let's go over into the Philistines' garrisons on the other side. But he told not his father. There's something about youth. They're just kind of dumb. Dumb enough to go do some things. You ever notice that? Amen. Man, every now and then, Brother Kenneth will suggest something, and I'll say, man, let's go do it. I say, why? I don't know. It just sounds like we can find some kind of, I hate to use the word, but trouble. Amen. Yeah, it might get bad. That's all right. Let's go do it anyway. Man, we drove me to that cliff area where they have big old quarry and water. Man, this is going to be fun, the water works. Why? We can get some trouble here. Not intentionally, but you know what I mean. Amen. Just something about youth. Come on, let's go do this. Yeah, let's go. I'm not going to think about it. Let's just go do it. That's what I like about these young people. Let's go do this. All right, let's go. Let's go sing over here this afternoon. Let's go. Let's go over here. This meeting over here, they could use some help. Let's go over there then. I remember when Dad was getting out and that thing there in the ministry, getting the church to start the reservation. Man, we'd work all day. Then about 4:30, Dad's preaching over in Chinle. Let's go. We all jump in. Man, never thought about how late we were going to come back. We never thought about how much gas money it was. We never thought about what time we'd get there. We just thought, let's go over there. Why? Because the man of God's preaching there. He probably going to preach the same as he preached yesterday. But that's all right. We'll go anyway. And we go over there, man, we hang out, man. He said, well, you know what, we need to get this place ready for a church. So we do this. And I like that about just young people, man. They want to go do something. That's what we need every now and then, that youth in us, man. Something to take initiative. Man, something's wrong with church. Something's wrong with Christianity. Something's wrong in our home. What we can do about it? Let's get them to do something about it. That was Jonathan. He didn't want to sit around and just kind of watch it happen. I like the fact Jonathan wasn't afraid of hard work, verse 4. Between the passage by which Jonathan sought to go over in the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And the name of the one was Bozez, and the name of the other Sene. You know, I look at this here. You know what I see there? It's a hard passage. It was hard work. Jonathan, in order for him to get some victory that day, he said, it's going to take some hard work. We have a hard path to get through. Hey, man, you going to come with me? It's going to be tough. It's not going to be easy to get there. A young man said, hey, whatever you want to do, I'm with you. If we're going to help our country, we're going to help our churches, we're going to help Christianity, it's going to take some hard work. It's going to be some hard times. There's going to be a sharp rock here. There's going to be a rock in a hard place. We're going to be caught between some things. But I'll tell you what, man, it's going to be a blessing. You know why? We're going to see some victories down the road. You say, man, is it going to be easy? No, it ain't going to be. A church like this was not born and easy. It was born, man, through travail, through prayer, through sorrow, through blood, sweat, and tears, and some money. And you and I, we're going to pick it up and go on. That's what we need to invest in, the work of God. Man, the old-time Christianity, the preaching, the things that went on that way, the reason why it is that those men of God put their life into it. And they knew that, man, the hard work and the effort that was going to be required of them. Jonathan wasn't afraid of no hard work. We can't be afraid of hard work in the work of God, helping these. Man, we're going to run out the enemy. We're going to, man, have a church that's worth fighting for. Well, it's going to take some effort. Not only that, but let me see. Notice some other things here about Jonathan. I like the fact that Jonathan just put his faith in God. Verse 6, Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come, let us go over to garrison these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. He said, man, we're just going to put it in God's hands. Let's go. Man, that's faith. He said, we're just going to trust God. God may work with us. I think a lot of times God just blesses that kind of faith. He just said, we're going to go do it, man. God might bless, he might not, but it don't matter. We're going to try it for the Lord. There's a few things in the ministry. We got started out there in the reservation, and they said, will it work? I don't know. Let's just try. Let's see what happens. Man, we'll just expect God. God said his word won't return void, so let's find out. I mean, we put floats in the parades out there. We set up booths at the Navajo Nation Fair. Man, there's a few times we went out to some areas, just passing out tracks, just going, dude, getting the church started in different areas. Is it going to work? We have no idea, but man, we're going to try it anyway. Let's see what happens. And you know what? A lot of times God did bless it. But there was always those that just got under the tree and tarried. And there's others that just talked about it. Well, you know, Brother Terrence, this is how you need to pastor. This is how you need to start that church. Well, just keep talking. We're going to go over here and try to start a church. You don't start it that way. Well, I know, but we're going to go over here and try anyway. Just leave us alone. They're still there. Church at Winslow, church at Gap, still there. I remember everybody telling me, this is what you got to do. What you got to do. This is what you got to do. Everybody knew how to do it. But then nobody wanted to do it. All right, then, let's go. We went over there and it got done. And not bragging, but just praise the Lord, because, man, maybe it will be, maybe it won't. I don't know, but let's find out. That's always been a blessing like that. They said, you can't go to the high school and teach in the classroom. The law, blah, 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 all that. Well, let's find out. This young lady there at the school said, find out if we can have Bible study there on Thursday morning or one of the mornings. And later, a week later, she came back. You know, preacher, I asked and said, there'd be nothing wrong with you having a Bible study there before school. I said, okay, what day would be good? She said, well, they said Thursday. I said, all right, then we'll take what they give us. And go do it. But some people, like I said, they don't want that kind of challenge, that kind of stirring. You want to see victory? You want to see a real stirring of God? Y'all be willing to take that kind of step? Well, maybe the Lord bless it. I want to see if God will do this. I like Jonathan, that area right there. Not only that, but I like the fact that Jonathan recruited others. First, he got the armor bearer to go with him. He said, hey, man, come with me. Let's go. Got a young man go with him. Then later on, you find the nation, the Hebrews, verse 21. More of the Hebrews that were with the Philistines before that time, which went up with them out of the camp into the country round about, even they also turned to be with the Israelites that were with Saul and Jonathan. Man, Jonathan doing something. You know what it did? It inspired everybody else to come back and get involved back in the work. Saul didn't inspire nobody. Jonathan did. You know why? Action. Activity. So I want to help the young people. Well, do something and inspire them. They'll say, hey, I want to do what he's doing. Amen. Well, I just don't work good with young people. You know why? You don't do anything. You don't inspire them in any way. Amen. Man, when you get them and say, hey, we're going to go do this for the Lord, man. And a lot of them said, man, I guess I could do that too. And it stirs them up. Amen. Man, we know we stir up young people, but stir up the adults sometimes. Get them fired about doing some things. Getting our families involved, bringing them, say, hey, we're going to do this together. You know what it does? It gets the rest of them say, hey, man, we can do that too. Amen. Encourage one another that way. Man, I mean, just seeing families sing together, amen, that's a blessing. That inspires a lot of other people to get their family's instruments and start singing together. Family traveling together, man, it inspires others to travel together and preach the Word of God. It just inspires people around when you do something. A lot of times we just kind of like, well, I'll think about it. And I'm going to tear it home, sit under the tree, and just talk about it. Man, we know we could do this, we could do that. We'll just talk somebody. Get up and go do it. You never know who you're going to inspire to get going for the work of God. Man, you never know, man, how your faith will encourage someone else's faith. Been on the road now 8 years, over 8 years. We'll finish up 8 years this year. And some of those first churches I went to, and man, I talked to some of those guys right now, and some of them will say that, man, that first time you came, I remember this is what you said, this is what you preached on. And I'm thinking, man, God, where do you remember that? If I didn't have a book where I wrote down what I preached where, I wouldn't remember what I preached here. But they'll say, man, that really helped me, my family, and it really got us excited about what the Lord's doing. Amen. Somebody got to go do something, though. In your church here, the people, man, got to get up and do something. I like the fact here, Jonathan not only did that, but Jonathan here, you know what? He had to overcome some fears. If you notice there in verse number 11, both of them discovered themselves unto the garrison of the Philistines. The Philistines said, behold, the Hebrews come forward out of the holes where they have hid themselves. Up until this point, Israel was afraid. They were hiding from the enemy. Jonathan said, we can't be afraid no more. We cannot let our fears cause us to run and hide from all these issues, from all these things out here. We've got to stand up and reveal to the world what we believe. We've got to reveal to the world what we stand for, where I stand, what I love. Amen. We've got to let them know. Do people around you know what you believe, where you go to church, what you stand for, what you won't stand for? Do they know the scriptures that you love? Do they know that, hey, I love the Lord Jesus Christ in your life? Do they know that about you? That was him. He revealed it where he stood. He said, hey, this is where we're at. We're not going to just hang back here. You know, some people are happy to be like Saul, verse 2, just tarry under the pomegranate tree. Some people are just happy to talk about it. Well, I know what to do. I'm glad you know what to do. But hey, do something about it. Well, if we did it this way, don't nobody likes everybody telling what they call the armchair quarterback. Nobody likes that. Man, if I was there, I could have threw this pass. No, you couldn't have. Man, if I was there, I'd have done this. No, you wouldn't. You might have done worse. Amen. Everybody does about the football games. Man, I could have done it. I'd have done it. No, probably not. It always irritated me in high school. We come back Monday. Man, you guys lost that game. Man, if you would have done it. I said, no, don't talk to me. You were not on the field with us. The only ones to talk trash is our other teammates. And the rest of you, you can't. Our coach can, but not you. Amen. I like here, I like he had to overcome some fears. He didn't let the fears tell him how to live. Man, we might as well just let the world know where we stand. You know, most people know you go to church, but man, you might as well let them know what kind of church you go to. A shouting church, a praising the Lord church. Man, a church believes the King James Bible. Amen. We're not afraid to let people know what we believe about it and just stand where we stand on issues and society. Every now and then, I like being around the older man of God. You ever notice the old man of God? Sister was talking about this morning. So every time we went somewhere, we went on the preacher's tour. When you're a preacher's kid, you always get the preacher's tour of everything. He said, what's the preacher's tour? The preacher's tour, all you need to hear, your parents are a preacher, you know what the preacher's tour is. Because you cannot just go anywhere and visit just to look and be a tourist. When you go there, you have to find out how wicked everything is with the scripture. You can enjoy as a preacher, right? Am I right? All you hear, preacher's kids, the preacher gets, your dad get up there. Yo, that ain't right. You know, if I was there, and they'd point out everything wrong there. And there's a scripture for this and a scripture for that. And somewhere down the line, you know, a 3-point outline is going to come out somewhere of something that they saw that day. Amen. Well, we might as well let the world know what we believe about some of those things. I appreciate this old man God just saying, hey, that ain't right. They speak up and say something about it. Revealed where he stood. He wasn't afraid to. I like the fact, like I said, that Jonathan just went after and got some victory. Man, that verse 13, 14, man, you find that slaughter there. And you know what? When they went out there, God did move. But that's only because Jonathan got and did something about it. Now, my challenge to you, get up and do it. Something about it. You know something's wrong, ain't right? Get up and do something about it. Our preacher talked about this morning, that light. Get up and do something about the light. You know, people come into a church and say, this is not right. I'm in a parking lot. Well, get up and do something about it. Man, this needs to be fixed with the young people. Well, get up and do something about it. Pray for them. Amen. Well, this is not. Well, get up and do something about it. I'm not saying to get up and criticize everything. Get up and see how you can help. Make it better. Find some way to get in that thing to make it better. I've always told people, man, try to leave people. Try to leave situations. Try to leave relationship. Try to leave your employment. Try to leave everything better than the way you found it. Don't leave it worse. Don't leave a bad testimony. Try to make it better. Find some way you can make it better. You got a specific talent? Well, find a way to make it better. You got a friend? Find a way to make them better. Encourage them. Try to leave them better than you found them. Amen. But some folks, they're just going to do like Saul. Talk about it. They're going to tarry. They're going to take liberties. So I'm encourage you. Do something about it. It may be God will bless it. And man, it'll prosper. Man, don't just watch here. Get involved in the work of God. Find a place to get in and help. That's what I like. Amen. A ministry in church, man. I encourage you young men, man, the things around here, find some place you can help. Get in there. And I know a lot of you do already, but there's still some of you just kind of watch things happen. Get involved somewhere. Amen. Tara and Torrance, they're like that. They don't watch very well. They watch a couple of times. And after that, I want to do this, Dad. I have to go home with them at night. Dad, can I do this? Can I do this? Can I do this? And I say, okay. Hold on, man. Let me get this thing here. I'm the one that's bad about watching. Anyway. I encourage you. So I hope that feeds you this week, get you a thought to go on rest of this week here. Amen.